They are not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy.
That was then First Lady Hillary Clinton at a campaign speech in 1996 for her husband, Bill Clinton's second term. She was making the case for criminal justice reform to support President Clinton's Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act. That super predator idea, it stuck. Alleged gang members and young people of color were labeled dangerous, uncontrollable. It was the start of a cycle of juvenile punishment that continues today. This week, HBO's Vice is launching their sixth season with the episode Raised in the System. Actor Michael K. Williams hosts the episode. He also starred as Omar Little on the HBO series The Wire.
Trauma, whether it be physical, sexual, mental health, or just plain old good old-fashioned lack of resources in the home. You take a child that's coming from all of those realities, it's not about, oh, why did they make that dumb decision? If they're going to make it, it's about when do they make the dumb decision? It's a matter of time before they're going to do something stupid.
For Williams, those types of mistakes hit close to home. His nephew, Dominic DuPont, was sent to prison for second-degree murder and criminal possession of a weapon when he was only 19. Williams says he understands firsthand how easy it can be to be so young and caught up in the criminal justice system.
I was at risk. You know, I look at the mistakes and the bad choices I made in my life. It came from a lack of self-awareness and way too much access to nonsense.
Way too much access to nonsense.
Too much. You know, for me, it was to be blatant, it was, you know, drugs and partying. For my nephew Dominic, it was illegal firearms. So I look at, you know, what happened in my life, what happened in my nephew's life, and it's called adolescence. Dominant situation, long story short, young boys fighting over a girl. How many times have we heard that story? The difference is the access, the amount of access that Dominic had to an illegal firearm made his repercussions to his bad choice a lot more severe than maybe in another neighborhood where it just would have been a fist fight and everybody would have went home with bumps and bruises.
So can you take us back to the beginning of that day that led you to your time in prison?
Yeah. So it was a hot summer day in June, early June. I had been back on break from college. Mm-hmm. I had had a full-time job working as a security guard during the time of this incident. And we ran into a group of individuals who my brother had had a prior altercation with over a girl. And that situation imploded immediately. It led to me retrieving a firearm, getting into an altercation. One bad decision, it could change your life for decades at a time.
Where was the gun at the time?
I had the gun in my residence. I lived in a very bad neighborhood. Essentially,
we lived in a very bad neighborhood.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Michael and I, you know.
Around the corner.
Right around the corner from me. And I learned very early on that if you were not the victor, in most instances, you would be the victim. I was concerned about, you know, things that might happen if we didn't have a firearm in the house. And, you know, it goes back to the point that Michael was making earlier. To have access to a firearm at that very young age, just turned 19 years old, and, you know, the situation essentially got out of control. Myself and the deceased were struggling over this firearm. I take full responsibility because I bought an illegal firearm to this situation. Ultimately, struggle or not, I am the person who discharged that firearm, and I take full responsibility for that. What I will say is that, you know, I have to speak to my behavior, my conduct, and more importantly, how I have used prison as a platform for me to adjust issues and challenges that I had within myself that made me feel that it was necessary to bring a firearm into this situation, which led to the unfortunate death of someone.
It almost doesn't make sense because, you know, as grown men, we have a better understanding of complexity, nuance, and we forgive things. But when we're being punished as grown men for what we did as children, it messes with your mind. And you bring that out so expertly in this documentary. And so, Michael, I want to focus for a second on that conversation you had with Judge Denise Cubbin from Lucas County, Ohio.
The thought for years was that incarceration would rehabilitate people, but that's not the case. We were sending kids to the Department of Youth Services, that's kids' prison, by leaps and bounds. And they would come home, and what would they do? What they know best, continue to commit offenses because they became unemployable. They perhaps didn't have education to rely on. The reality is we lost a population of young kids. And to what?
Judge Cubbin is a trailblazer. She took her budget. She didn't ask the state of Ohio for any extra money, any extra favors. She took the budget that was already there, and she created a series of programs. When you come into her court, she would give you a chance to stay in your home life, go to school, but still adhere to these programs that she would set up for you that she created through her courts and monitoring. And as a result of these programs, her numbers dropped by more than half of the amount of people she's sending to kids' services, a.k.a. kitty jail.
So, Dominic, you saw this judge. Do you wish you had gone through a program like that?
I do. You know, Michael and I have had a lot of conversations specifically with regard to programming, and I believe that good programming is good security. In the prison, and as we start to transcend from prison back into the community, how we take a look at how we are affecting people when they are in secure and controlled environments is extremely important with regard to the outcome of those specific individuals once they get back into the community. If we don't start to take a look at people's values, if we don't start to have a conversation about integrity and some of the other things that it will take to be successful once you're released, then I assure you that most people will go back.
So through your own personal experience and through this documentary, what are viewers supposed to take away from it? What's the major lesson?
Redemption. That's the first lesson for me. For the community, second chances. You know, we are a country that believes in second chances, I think. And what are we doing to address gun violence? What are we doing to reduce the level of violence that are happening in poor communities? We are losing generations and generations of young people because people are standing by saying, you know, I'm just not going to be involved. You know, this has nothing to do with me. And what I submit to you is that we are all affected by this. Every single person in the community is affected by it. And I think that we need to take a serious look at how we can be actively involved in being part of the solution.
And the most important thing we should keep in mind is remember that these are still children. America has the largest amount of juvenile arrest in the world.
Thank you very much, Michael Kenneth Williams, actor and host of the first episode of this season's Vice on HBO, and Dominic DuPont, a man who served 20 years in prison, starting at the age of 19, but is now fighting for the cause. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.